I think our industry has all the tools to start talking about disease elimination or disease eradication on the national scale. And I think PED is the, in my opinion, the lowest hanging fruit and can be a litmus test for how we could do it with other pathogens should that be where the industry goes.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Keep your feed safe from pathogens with VVC Premix. VVC Premix from DSM Firmenich is made up of ultra-pure benzoic acid and nature-identical flavorings to guard your feed and improve performance. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Swine It podcast. I'm Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have Dr. Marisa Rotolo as my guest. Dr. Rotolo serves as the director of swine health with the National Pork Board. Welcome to the Swine It podcast, Marisa.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So today on our show, we'll be discussing the Swine Disease Research Task Force, what it is, and how does the task force benefit the swine industry? But before we dive into our discussion, I'd like Dr. Rotolo to introduce yourself a little bit more for the listeners and share with us your career path.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily have the most traditional career path for a swine veterinarian. I started out wanting to always be a veterinarian, figuring I would be a small animal behaviorist, and I attended Iowa State for veterinary school, Go Cyclones, and I learned about livestock in the ag industry and started to work at the Veterinary Diagnostic Lab with Jeff Zimmerman and Roger Main, started to help out with some swine research projects and fell in love with the swine industry for how innovative we are and how welcoming we are as a group. We're never stagnant. We're always looking to improve and to advance. And I found that to be something that I really enjoyed. And I loved the problem-solving aspect of the swine industry. And so I started to get more into research as it relates to swine, particularly with oral fluids, working with Jeff Zimmerman. Obviously, for those who know him, he's very focused on oral fluids. And decided to pursue a PhD after veterinary school, where I then went to the Center of Epidemiology and Animal Health with USDA, where I had the opportunity to work on the Swine Hemorrhagic Fever Surveillance Program, as well as the African Swine Fever Red Book. Decided I needed a bit more field experience to really understand the industry I was trying to help. And so I took a position with PIC, Swine Genetics Company, as a health assurance veterinarian, where I worked for about 5 years, helping producers with biosecurity, improve and maintain their health, exporting live animals and working with the PRRS resistant pig. And an opportunity presented itself at National Pork Board for Director of Swine Health. And it gave me the chance to mirror my research background with my field experience to really help producers and pigs.
Yeah, that's great. You have a really broad, background with a lot of experiences, particularly, I think, with the USDA and understanding, how do we get some of these programs that can be really, really helpful to the swine industry underway and, communicate and work with them. So very, very excellent, and enjoy what you've been working on so far with the National Pork Board. So thanks for being my guest.
Thanks for having me.
As we start out, I want you, Marisa, just to tell us about the Swine Research Task Force, what it is, kind of what your purpose is for, and then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So National Pork Board has always used pork checkoff funds to help to promote and advance research in the swine industry. I joined National Pork Board in November 2023, and we had previously been focused on foreign animal disease due to that detection of ASF in China. And so a lot of resources and research went towards preparing the U.S. swine industry for African swine fever. When I joined in November 2023, after, receiving producer feedback that, hey, we feel confident that we are in a good spot as it relates to foreign animal disease, don't take your foot off the the throttle as it relates to that, but how can we further incorporate endemic diseases? And so with that, we shifted our research program from foreign animal disease to include endemic disease. And so we decided to move forward with the Swine Disease Research Task Force, which focuses on research related to not only foreign animal disease, but also our endemic pathogens like PRRS, mycoplasma, influenza, PED, in order to help our producers and further promote that research in that space. So that Swine Disease Research Task Force is made up of producers, veterinarians, academics, and subject matter experts. And essentially what we do is we meet on a monthly basis and discuss what are the challenges that you guys are facing on the SLAT level, and what are questions that you have? What are some research priorities that we need to develop in order to get researchers to hear what the industry needs, and so that we can get some proposals, get some studies going to help address the needs of the producers.
Right. So it's a way for them to talk directly with each other, right? Academicians, researchers, producers, and experts in the fields of virology or microbiology, epidemiology, et cetera.
We've got a lot of folks in the room, and we have a really good group. We're very candid, very transparent. We have a section of each of our meetings just called Industry Chatter. And it's, you know, what are you hearing? What are you struggling with? What's going on? Obviously, you're going to have your big buckets, PRRS is kicking our butt this year. But then there's something, you know, what's going on with strep? What's going on with some of our bacterial endemic pathogens? So really giving that group a voice to share what's going on and seeing how we can help to address those challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we definitely can't take our eyes off the foreign animal diseases, right? That threat, because it's real and it's there. But we struggle every day with these diseases that really knock us down, and not only production and, economically, but also just morale, right? You're dealing with the same thing over and over and over, and it doesn't feel like you're making any progress. So I think it's a great goal to have to work on those. We actually, in my eyes, have a lot of the tools and the knowledge to understand not only how to control, but eradicate some of them. And we really haven't had any eradication of a disease since pseudorabies. And that was years ago when I first got out of practice. So, but it took about 40 years for that program, honestly, once it got, you know, it got started and it got a lot of traction, I think in the early 90s, and we finally got that disease out. So we can be done. We actually have a lot of the tools. It's a matter of coordination and being producer driven, right, to work on those endemic diseases.
Right. And something else with this Swine Disease Research Task Force is I manage the research task force, and then I also co-lead the AASV PED Elimination Task Force with Dr. Paul Yeski. And so we have this line of communication between these two groups. So when we have, you know, things that come up in the PED Elimination Task Force, we take that information and we share it with the Disease Research Task Force, and we get their input and their thoughts as it relates to, you know, how do we talk about the potential to eradicate PED on the national scale? What are things that you could do? What are some questions that you have as it relates to PED? So it's a really interesting conduit to share producer input with, you know, ASV veterinarians working on that elimination task force.
Yeah, that's great. Absolutely. Because, I mean, if you ask any veterinarian that's been in the industry and you know, worked in the farms with producers, it's, getting rid of PRRS and PED would be just phenomenal for our industry, not to mention the welfare aspect, right? That's also important.
Absolutely. I think our industry has all the tools to start talking about disease elimination or disease eradication on the national scale. And I think PED is in my opinion, the lowest hanging fruit and can be a litmus test for how we could do it with other pathogens, should that be where the industry goes.
Yeah, I can't agree more. So how would a producer get involved, or another veterinarian, anybody that's listening, get involved in the task force?
What's most important is we are funded by Pork Checkoff, so we want producer input. We want producer fingerprints. And so I would definitely encourage anyone listening who wants to be a part of that task force or share challenges that we're having and not necessarily join the group itself, get in contact with me. My email is mrotolo@pork.org. So it's my first initial and then my last name, just at pork.org. You can also contact National Pork Board through our call center and get in touch with me. But more than happy to hear from producers, veterinarians, experts out in the field of, you know, what are the challenges that you guys are facing every day and what are the knowledge gaps that we have so that we can address those.
Yeah, absolutely. So reach out to Dr. Marisa Rotolo if you want to know more about the task force and how you can get involved. Also, check out the website. There are there's a lot of information on the National Pork website, Pork Board website, and I'm sure that they can find your contact information there as well. In addition, you can always send a message on this podcast platform and someone will get back to you as well in terms of how to get involved. So, Marisa, tell me about a project that the task force has done in the past that's successful or something you're working on right now with a little bit more detail.
With these monthly meetings that we're having, we'll identify priorities for RFPs or requests for proposals. So in the spring, we'll do a general call, and then in the fall, we'll do a disease-focused call. So this past spring, we had a wide range of endemic-related priorities, and then this fall, we'll have a PERS-focused RFP, which has actually been released and closes September 15th. We also have an open swine health RFP, which is open all year round and covers any wide range of anything related to swine health. And so researchers, if they have an idea, can go ahead and submit their proposals through that process. But as I mentioned, we do have a spring RFP that we just wrapped up, and we were able to fund 7 projects, 2 addressing PERS, 1 on rotavirus, 1 on E. coli, 1 on Seneca Valley, and then 1 on strep suis. And so we are very excited to see that work. To highlight something that the task force has done recently, as I mentioned, we have a fall disease-specific call. So last fall, we had a PED call, and we funded a literature review on PED. And so that work has been completed and is currently available on our website and is a really good review of what are the tools, what are the steps, what are we going to need to do should we move towards a national eradication program? And that work was completed by Dr. Eric Newman.
Okay, no, that's great to know. I didn't know that that had been done. So excellent resource. And so then let's talk about that again, the results, right, of a project. So what you just mentioned is, you know, those are available on the website. You can go in and I'm sure, you know, and find the lit search and the review there. What about past stuff that the group has done? Is that the same place to access that?
Yeah, you could go to porkcheckoff.org and you could, we've got all of the research that we've done. We've all have all the final reports. So you'll see we've got an industry summary, which is a bit more, you know, real world, how is this information going to impact me? And then we also have the more scientific final report after that industry summary. So all of that information is available on porkcheckoff.org. Also, if you know that Pork Board has funded something and you're looking for that project, you're certainly more than welcome to reach out to Pork Board, reach out to myself, and we can find that work. A lot of the proposals and research that's funded by Pork Board ends up being published in a peer-reviewed journal. So you'll also have access to where you can find that finalized publication if one was put together for that research.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about the collaboration. You already mentioned a task force that you're on with the AASV, the American Association of Swine Veterinarians. And so the National Pork Board does a lot of collaborations, not only with the swine organization, but other organizations as well. Talk about those on the disease standpoint and who else you might be working with.
So we have we've really utilized this disease task force to provide producer input for a wide range of topics. The one that first comes to mind would be the H5N1 detection in cattle, right? So that put the swine industry on alert of, you know, if this gets into pigs, how would we handle that? So we've had discussions as it relates to H5N1 on that disease task force and at Pork Board. And so As it relates to the task force, we did collaborate with SHIC, the Swine Health Information Center, and FFAR in order to host an H5N1 RFP to close some knowledge gaps as it relates to that virus if it were to get into pigs. In addition to that, National Pork Board as a whole also works very closely with SHIC, AASB, NPPC, the National Pork Producers Council, the Meat Institute, and just a wide range of industry groups, not only within the swine industry itself, but across different commodity groups. So we have, you know, we've been meeting with some folks on the dairy side, with some folks on the poultry side. So really across the barnyard, as well as our friends in the public health sector. So we, you know, we've had conversations with CDC. A lot of these recent examples point back to that H5N1, but we're an incredibly collaborative group and just working to make sure that we're in contact with the right folks in order to continue to serve pork producers.
Yeah, absolutely. Influenza is here to stay, right? So those are really important, networking and to continue to learn and understand how that virus is evolving in different species in terms of, not only agriculture, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone had this on their bingo card this year, but we're working hard to make sure we're ready should it get into swine.
Well, it's been really great to learn about the task force, the Swine Disease Task Force with the National Pork Board. This has been Dr. Marisa Rotolo with the National Pork Board. Marisa, do you have any final take-homes that you want producers and our industry to take home from our podcast today?
I would say the most important thing is, you know, Pork Board is working hard in order to fund research that's going to help producers on a day-to-day basis on that SLAT level. And again, as I mentioned, we're a very candid and transparent group. So if you're listening to this and you have some ideas or you're dealing with a challenge, get in contact with us and help us to identify that challenge and potentially get some research funded so that we can get some answers for you.
Yeah, thank you. And you can also reach out on your podcast platform, send us a message or a note, a comment. If you liked our show today, please send us a thumbs up or a like. We'd really appreciate that.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Vaxinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Eastman serves veterinarians and nutritionists in agrochemical and animal health industries by helping them select, evaluate, and implement innovative nutritional programs. Eastman works with your team to customize your gut health approach in feed and water. Eastman's approach addresses nutritional and bacterial challenges and finds new ingredient preservation and hygiene solutions. Explore ways to accelerate and innovate your programs. Contact the animal nutrition team at eastman.com.
And as a trademark of our show, before I let you go, we have three thought-provoking questions that we ask all of our guests just to get to know them a little bit better. So, Marisa, what is a book or resource that is your go-to in your area of expertise?
For me, the first thing I'm going to do is open up Diseases of Swine and just do a quick review on endemic diseases or foreign animal diseases. But another resource that I use is my community, AASB, calling different vets in the area and saying, hey, I hear this is going on, or hey, I'm dealing with this. Have you seen this before? So really relying on the community of swine veterinarians and producers to work through any challenges or go-tos.
Yeah, the facts are in the book, but the field experiences are in your colleagues, right?
And sometimes, yeah, pathogens don't read the book.
Right. So, Marisa, how about a book or resource not related to the swine industry that you think it would be interest to our audience?
I've been doing a lot of trying to go outside of of the ag world and try to change my way of thinking. So I'm currently reading a book called Think Again by Adam Grant, which just sort of challenges your viewpoint and your perspective and how you approach something and why someone might approach something different. You know, we have a lot of information out there as it relates to different personality types and working with others. You know, we have a hugely collaborative industry and we've got a lot of different personalities. And so how can you best communicate with different personality types?
Oh, I'll have to check that one out. Adam Grant has some others that I've read and I like the thought provoking aspect of some of his work. So yeah. I'll check that out. Yeah, absolutely. And as we try to sift through so much information, and how do we communicate maybe our science in a better way that we can be trustworthy and there's different ways to interpret data, right? And write a report. And I think that's what sometimes science gets a bad rap about is, well, here's the facts and here's the statistics to prove it, right?
And I think it's important, right? I know for me, when I was going through my research program, I could be a bit myopic in my approach and, you know, no, this is it. This is right. This is the right answer. And so it's important to take a step back and really think about, you know, how would someone else's point of view look at this? And I think that's important to continue to promote collaboration and advance our industry. You got to step outside of your viewpoint sometimes.
So our last question is, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
I would say the most important attribute in my experience is just transparency. I know it can be difficult to admit when you're wrong or difficult to admit when you don't know something. But if you can be transparent about that, you know, you'll have a ton of people standing in front of you who are willing to help you. And so I think it's important to be transparent and to be humble and to always remember it's okay to ask for help or advice or other feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. It's okay to say, I don't know, but I'll help you find out or do my best to find out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, excellent. Thank you so much for being my guest today and look forward to the next show.
Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.